Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun Gimal.
This morning's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Rav David Katz of Katz Judaica. Katz Judaica on 632 Kings Highway in Brooklyn, 718-375-7272. We want to acknowledge that Rav David Katz is the supplier of all our Gemariot art scroll for the Daf Hayomi. Me in our shiur to scale mitzvot Katz Judaica. Today's daf has been dedicated to Ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied with Fuas Shlema Yaakov ben Ora El Narefana Lo Betoch Shear Chole Amo Israel Amen. We are on Daf Nun Bet Amud Bet, and we are going to start at the Gemara's with the words of the Rabbi Elhai. It's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elhai katz kafnayata dishvi'it. Rabbi Elhai, he chopped down a tree during the Shemitah year. Now, Rashi tells us that it was a first wide line, katz kafnayata dishvi'it, dekel ta'un kafniyot. It was a palm tree that had fruit on it that are called kafniyot. What are kafniyot? Ve'en temarim ketanim shelo bishlu. They're small dates that didn't ripen. Ve'katzatza dekel le'aitzim. Well, his purpose was to cutting the tree was for the wood. But as a result, Rashi tells us, ve'fsid kafniyot. He destroyed the fruit. So what's the problem? Well, it was Shemitah year. What's the problem with destroying fruit during the Shemitah year? So the Gemara goes on. How did he do such a thing? The Torah clearly tells us that if anything, you're allowed to eat the fruit of Shemitah. However, you're not allowed to destroy. You're not allowed to cause destruction to the fruit. By cutting down this tree, those small fruit now that did not ripen are not going to ripen anymore, and now they're non-edible, and you destroyed the pirot of Shevi'it. So how is the rabbi allowed to do such a thing? So the Gemara says, V'chite ma'hanemi le'hecha denachit le'pira. And maybe you're going to tell me that that's only talking about where it's a ripened fruit, where it's a complete product. But maybe you'll tell me, since it wasn't ripened yet, so it's not considered a peri, therefore it's not considered destroying the fruit of Shemitah. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Babar Abu, Hane Matchele de Orla." These Matchele, the Gemara calls it, of Orla. Now we know Orla is the tree, the fruit of a tree in the first 3 years is forbidden. Clearly the fruit is asur, but the Gemara is telling now, not only the fruit is asur, but the matchele is also asur. What is matchele? So that she tells us, second wide line, matchele de'ola shomer hagadil sevivot temarim bekotnan. It's like a protective coat that goes around the skin or a shell that grows around the small dates. Ke'en fakas hagadil sevivot egoz. Yeah, like a little skin that grows around sometimes the nuts. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us the chiddush over here that not only are the fruit asur during the 3 years of Orlah, but the shomer haperi, the protective layer that grows around the fruit, is also asur. Ho'il, the Gemara says, v'na'asu shomer laperi, because it has the status of a shomer haperi, meaning it protects the fruit. V'shomer laperi ematada. So the Gemara says, in these small dates, when does this little shell grow around it that you're calling it a shomer aperi? Bekufre. at the kufre stage. And the kufre stage is when they are still small. And still it's calling this shell a shomer aperi. That means a fruit is considered a fruit even at the small stage. And what usually happens is as the fruit starts to ripen, that shomer aperi falls off. And it's not needed anymore. But it's telling you that at the stage when it's still matcheneh, a shomer aperi, which is a very early stage, the fruit is called the peri, and this is called the shomer aperi. Therefore, it's subject to olma. So we're back to the question. How did Rav Elai cut down a tree with small fruit? He's destroying the fruit of Shevi'ayit. The Gemara says, Vekakari lehu peri. Right? And it's calling it a peri. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman de Amar Kerebi Yose. This opinion of Rav Nachman that says the Shomer Aperi of the Temarim, you have to treat with the Dinim of Orla, that's going like the opinion of Rabbi Yose. Well, what did Rabbi Yose say? Ditna, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yose Omer, Semadar Asur. What is Semadar? So, Rashi tells us that once the pedachim, we'll call that the buds, or the the budding, the blossom of the grape falls off, and all of a sudden you just see a very small little grape that's starting to surface, that's called semadar. Rabbi Yosef's opinion is, even at the stage of semadar, those grapes are asur mishum orla, because he considers it a peri. Uflegi, mepreshu peri. Uflegi rabbanan ale. But the rabbis argue on Rabbi Yosef. As if you look in the beginning of that bright, we don't have it, but Rashi brings it down for us. B'masechet Orla diktani resha ha'alin ve'alulavinu megifarim v'smadar mutarim mishum Orla. Which means, so we have a machloket at a small little peri, smadar. Is it a peri or not? Rabbi Yosef says it's a peri. Therefore, it's subject to the laws of Orla. And therefore, he's all said. Whereas Chachamim, they hold what? No, Semadar, that's before the Peri stage, and therefore, you have no problem. Oh, now we go back to the Velai. He cut down a tree during Shemitah, right? And it had these unripened dates. How did he do it in order to be Mafsid? We'll say he's going like Chachamim. Just like Chachamim say Semadar is not considered a peri, it's too early in the stage, so too low that these unripened dates are not considered peri. Therefore, you're not destroying anything. So we have a source for the B.O.C.'s actions. The B.O.C. like Shitat Hachamim. Comes the Gemara and says, Matkif la'adav shimi min hardea. The Gemara says, hold it. Do we see that Rabbi Yosef, that Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yosef by other trees? You only see them arguing by where grapes. Rabbi Yosef said Semadar is a peri. Chachamim said Semadar is not a peri. Who told you that you can apply that, what they said by grapes, to every other fruit? On the contrary, we're going to show you that the Hachamim hold that by every other fruit, even at a much earlier stage, it is considered a peri. So then we're back to the question. Who was Rav Elai going like? So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara says, Ve'atenahan, we learned in the Mishnah, Me'ematai en kotzetzin et ha'ilanot b'shevi'it. Which means, from when does it become forbidden to cut down the trees during the Shemitah? Meaning, at what stage are the fruits considered fruit, where if by cutting down the tree it's going to be considered destroying perot of Shevi'it? Obviously, before it starts bringing out fruit, you can cut the trees down. There's no issue in cutting trees during Shemitah. The issue is destroying fruit of Shemitah. So the question is, at what stage does it become forbidden to chop trees down during Shemitah, because I'm going to transgress the issue of destroying the fruit that are on the trees? So the Gemara says, Bet Shammai Omrim, Kol ha'ilanot mishiyotzi'u, which means once already the halim come out, it starts to bud and the leaves start to surface, that she says that's actually in the month of Nisan. From Nisan already you're not allowed to cut down any trees. U'betelel Omrim. Betelel is a different shita. He judges each certain fruits
differently. For example, the Gemara says, "Haharubin mishiyishreshu, mishiyishreshu,"
where it becomes like a sharsheret. What is a sharsheret? Like a chain. If you ever saw carob, when they start to grow, they become like curly, like a chain. So the Gemara says, when are harubin considered a fruit where you can have a problem? When they become like a chain.
Va'gefanim, when it comes to grapes, mishiyigre'u,
when they reach a stage called gidua.
How big is that?
We'll wait for the Gemara to tell us how much that is. But bottom line, that's the shi'ur of hakamim.
Va'zetim mishiyanitsu,
when the nets grows on them. What would we call a nets? Yeah, the olive trees, we call it?
Calyx.
The nets developed. What do they call that?
Calyx.
Calyx. Okay. That's got some type of, again, bud that comes over the olive. Ushar kila kol ha'ilanot. And all other trees, when is the isur from? Mishiyotziu. Mishiyotziu means from the early state, once even a little fruit pops out. Now, Ve'amar Rav Aser explained to us, Hu boser, hu girua, hu ful halavan. All these three words are synonymous. The word boser, which is usually used by grapes, unripened grapes. Girua, which was a term we just saw. Hu ful halavan, and ful halavan is the bean. All these things are synonymous. So the Gemara says, how can that be ful halavan sakadatach? How could you tell me boser and ful halavan are synonymous? Boser is grapes. Ful halavan is a bean. So the Gemara says, Ela ema shi'uro keful halavan. All they're telling you is, when you hear the word boser, which is grapes, and you hear the word girua, and you hear the word ful halavan, they're all the same size. Stop, it's giving you nut items. You know, ful halavan is a bean, and boser is a grape. And that's telling you, how big is boser? The size of a ful halavan. Size of a white bean. And when you hear the word girua, that's also the shiur of ful halavan. Right, that's just for your information. Gemara continues. Uman shama'ale damar boser in simadar lo. Now, this braita, who must it be that said in this braita that boser is hayav? If you're going to cut the tree down in Shemitah, at the boser state, it's considered already a peri. It must be the rabbis. Because boser is later than semadar. And in the earlier braita, what we say? Semadar, the rabbis say, is too early. Right? Semadar is not considered a peri. Obviously, it's not the biyoseh, because the biyoseh says already at the semadar stage, it's considered a peri. So who must this opinion be that says when the grape reaches boser, it's going to be considered a peri? Must be hachamim. Uman shamatne damar boser in semadalo rabbanan. Oh, so we know the author of this statement is who? The hachamim. The ketani, and what does it say in the braita? She'ar kol ha'ilanot mishiyotziu. And they clearly said, when it comes to all other fruit, what's the shi'ur? From when the fruit comes out, even at the smallest state. And therefore, what do we see over here? The rabbis only argued on the Rabbi Yosef by grapes. Rabbi Yosef said, Semadar. Hachamim said, when it reaches a stage of boser. Fine. But by all other fruit, what did Hachamim hold? When does a fruit become a fruit? Immediately, Mishiyotziyu. Meaning even at the smallest level. If that's so, we're back to the question on the Vilay. How did you cut down a tree during the Shemitah year? And don't tell me that these fruit were considered too small, these dates, because they're not considered a fruit yet. Because the rabbis hold that even at such a small state, they are considered a fruit. And therefore, what he did was asur. Who was he relying on? So the Gemara says, Ela, Rabbi Elai, bidinitzhanekat. Rabbi Elai was cutting a male palm tree. Now, what is significant about a male palm tree? The dates on the palm tree never ripen, which means they are what they are. They collect them in the month of Nisan, and you just put them in like a basket of palm basket from palm leaves, and they just ripen themselves, but they stay small. And therefore, you didn't mafsid anything, which means it never gets bigger. And therefore, the whole isur in Shemitah is what? When you're cutting a tree down, we understood, hey, it's still not ripened. So you stop the fruit from getting bigger. We're coming along and saying, nah, even if you want to say small fruit is considered fruit, that's on a female date tree, where the fruit still grows and still has potential. However, on a male palm tree, again, you have to figure out how you know the difference between a male palm tree and a female palm tree, but the point is, there is a difference, and well, obviously you tell it from the dates. And these dates remain small, therefore when you cut down the tree, you didn't destroy anything. So that's the final answer of how Rav Elai cut down the tree. As Gemaran says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Ochlim ba'anavim, it is permissible to eat grapes during Shemitah in one's house ad shiyichlu daluyot shel ochel, so long as there are still grapes in the field in a place that's called ochel, which means there was a certain area of vineyards, and that area of vineyards happened to have the name ochel. Not to be misinterpreted, ochel meaning food. This ochel is the name of a place. So long as there's grapes in the vineyards of ochel, the word daluyot is vines that are hanging. I guess they used to put like pieces, poles, and the vines used to weave around the poles and hang from the poles. So they're saying, so long as the vines are hanging in the place called ochel, that's considered in the field. And the rule is, so long as it's in the field, you're allowed to eat it in the house. So comes the Gemara and says, "Im yesh mi'uharot mehen, ochlim alehen." Furthermore, if you find a place that has grapes in the field after the grapes of ochel are finished, you could rely on the later place as well. Which means the primary place is the place called ochel, but if let's say there's an area that still has grapes in the field afterwards, you can rely on them as well. Next case, ochlim bezetim. What's the cutoff point of eating olives? Ad shiichle acharon shebetekawa, until the last olive of the field in Tekoa gets finished. Tekoa was a city, and that was known for its olives. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ad shiichle acharon shel gush halav. He says, no, when it comes to these olives, you go according to the city of Gush Halav. And she says that was in the helik of Asher. Asher was one of the tribes, and Asher was blessed. It says, Me'asher shemena lachmo, which means he had the vetovel b'shemen raglo, and he had the oil. So therefore he says, you go according to the Gush Halav region. And he goes on to say, they have to be totally taken out of the field, meaning not found in the field, to the extent that if an ani goes out, a poor man goes out, he won't find olives not hanging from the leaves of the tree, and not even at the ikar, meaning at the roots of the tree, rova, meaning a rova hakav, which means once already, you cannot even find a quarter of a kav of olives under the tree, that's already the cutoff point. Then already you know it's not considered significant in the field, and therefore it becomes isur in the house. So the Bina is giving you already a measurement of how much. Next case, bigrogrot, ochlin bigrogrot, what's grogrot? So that she tells us that's dried figs. Ad shiichlu pene bet hinne. Pege bet hinne. Pege is the dried figs of a place called bet hinne. Okay, so long as there's figs over there, then you can eat them in the house. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo uzkeru pege bet hinne, ela le'anyan ma'aser. She's older. He says, no, you got it all wrong. This bet hineh was not mentioned le'inyan shemitah. The bet hineh was mentioned le'inyan, the law of ma'asir. Meaning what? That she lo uskeru bebet ha-medrash le'ashiv peri ela le'ma'asir. Ma'asir. Now here's a law that what? A person has to take ma'asir from his fruit. So the Gemara says, what's the proof? Netanya. Page bet hineh. The dry dates of the field of bet hineh. Ve'ahineh de tuviana. That's the figs. Ahineh is figs of a place called Tuviana. Hayavim bema'asir. These items, they have to give ma'asir. Even though they are both small. But still they're considered a fruit. Which is the inyan ma'asir, they are considered a peri, and therefore, even though they are small size, the betineh ones and the ones in tuviana doesn't matter. You still have to give maaser. So these items were said the inyan maaser, but they were not said the inyan, the din of shemitah, which means it could be that according to the laws of maaser, this would be considered a peri. However, according to the laws of shemitah, maybe you don't consider it a peri. And therefore, even though you find these little, figs in these areas, it's not going to matir the figs in the house. That's going to be the nafka minah. L'inyan ma'asir wa mahmir, that what? Consider the peri, take ma'asir. However, l'inyan shemitah, we're not going to consider these small items a peri to matir you to eat that species in the house. That's why I had to correct him and said it was not said l'inyan shemitah, but only l'inyan ma'asir. Bidvat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Comes the Gemara and says, Ochlin betemarim ad shiichle aharon shebetzoar. We continue the same principles. One is able to eat dates in his house as long as there's still dates until the last date in the city of Soar is consumed in the field. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ochlin al Shel ben Akipin. So long as the fruit are amongst the leaves of the tree, where it's easily accessible to the animals. The en Ochlin al Shel ben Hashitzin. However, if the fruit finds itself between the thorns at the base of the tree, since the animals do not access it easily, so therefore it's not considered in the field, therefore that species is forbidden in the house. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Urmini, we have a contradiction. Ochlin ba'anavim ada Pesach. You're allowed to eat grapes until Pesach. Bezetim ada atzeret. Zetim, olives, until Shavuot. Begrogrot, on the dried figs, ada Hanukkah, until Hanukkah. Betemarim, on the dates, ada Purim, until Purim. Ve'amar Rabbi Bai, and Rabbi Bai said, Rabbi Yohanan, tarte batraita mahlif. Now the last two he switches, meaning he holds that grogrot is until Purim, and temarim is until Hanukkah. But basically over here, we have a different measuring stick now. You just told me before, different locations. Until this location runs out. Now you're telling me that it's a time, which means this ends at Nisan, this ends at Pesach, this ends at Shavuot, this ends at Hanukkah, Purim. So make up your mind. Does it go after the places that were mentioned before? Or does it go after a certain cutoff time? So the Gemara says, Idi v'idi ha shi'urahu. So what do you want? It's the same shi'ud. Meaning it's saying the same thing. Which means, by Shavuot time, let's give an example. What was said by Shavuot? Zetim ad atzeret, right? And what did we say above? Zetim until what? Ad shichle acharot shebetekoa. Till the last olive in the city of Tekoa gets eaten. So the Gemara is telling you, by the way, by Shavuot time, that's when the last olive in Tekoa is going to be ridden from the field. So basically they were telling you the same time, just in different ways. Gemara says, "Vibayetema." Or I can tell you a different answer. Haketani behedya. Didn't it say explicitly in the Braita, "Im yesh miucharot mehen ochlin alehen"? Which means, didn't we say that even though these cities are the main barometer of if you can still eat in the house, but we said if you find another area that still has them in the field, miucharot, later, you can rely on those areas. Now, even though that was said in the Braita, where was that said? The Braita said it by the first case, specifically by the grapes. But the Gemara is telling you that, the rule doesn't only apply to grapes. It applies to all the different fruits of the Braita, that if there's a later place that still has them in the field, it's going to be mutar. Oh, now we know what the second Braita is saying. The second Braita is saying, that which we said, that you can go according to the later areas, but once, let's say, Nisan comes, finished, it's over. Which means even the later areas will not have that fruit in that area. And therefore, this Braita is going according to the condition of the first Braita, mi'uharot. Example, for olives. We said the cutoff point is Tekoa. But we said if there's a place that's later than Tekoa, you can go according to that later place. The second Braita says what? Shavuot is the cutoff point. Which is they're telling you, you should know by Shavuot, there is no later place. That's going to be the ultimate cutoff point. So therefore, there's no stira between the two Braitot. The first Braita has given you, the first time, and the second Braita has given you the latest cutoff point possible is going to be by this time. You're not even going to be possible to rely on mi'uharot, on the later ones in the field. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Siman leharim milin. If you want to know if a region is considered mountainous, you will see milin. What is milin? So that she says afatzin, which means gallstones or gall nuts grow on the mountains. What is the Gemara telling this to us for? You'll see in a moment. There is enough coming out why you have to know that. Mountainous regions are discerned when you see gall nuts. Siman la'amakim. If you want to know how to discern in a valley, dekalim. You see palm trees. Siman la'nehalim. A siman for a river. Kanim. You'll see reeds. Siman la'shefela. A siman for a shefela is a, I guess we'll call it a eres mishor. I mean, that's the plains, right? Shikma, you'll see the shikma tree. Some say that that's the sycamore tree. That's a tree that doesn't produce any fruit. So the Gemara is giving you telltale signs of different terrain. Even though we don't have a proof that the plains have sycamore trees in them, zechel davar, we can bring a remez. Shneemar vayiten amelech et hakesef b'Yerushalayim, and the king gave the money in Jerusalem ka'avanim, like stones, ve'et arazim, and he gave the cedar wood natan kishkamim asher b'shvela larof. He gave it like the sycamore trees that are in the plains in abundance. So you see a remez on the pasuk that sycamore trees go in the plains. Siman leharim milin. You told me that the siman of a mountain is what? The gall nuts. Siman la'amakim, and a siman for the valley is what? The kalim. Nafkamina lebikurim. Nafkamina for bikurim. Let's review the law of bikurim for a moment. Torah tells us that from the seven species that Eretz Yisrael was praised, Eretz Chita, Uschora, Vegefen, Utena, Verimon, Eretz Etshem, and Udvash, the Gemara learns from a Gezerah Shavah. It says the word Eretz by Bikurim, and it says the word Eretz by the seven species. So from there they learn only the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael are Chayav and Bikurim. What does that mean? The first fruit, the owner of the field is obligated to take it up to Yerushalayim, and of course present it to the Kohen. But there's another law that we learn. One has to give from the choice of his fruits. He has to give from the Meshubah, from the best. So therefore they're telling you that, let's say when it comes to dates, where do dates preferably grow? In the valley. Therefore when it comes to Bikurim, don't bring dates from the mountainous regions. Because the mountainous regions are not known for their dates. They're known for their gall nuts. Therefore, you have to know exactly which region produces which item. So when you fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim, you bring the best item available. Ditnan, en mivi'in Bikurim, ela mishiva'at taminim. First and foremost, you only bring Bikurim from the 7 species. Ve'lo medikalim. And furthermore, it has to be from the choice of the 7 species. How do we know that? Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, let's read the Rashi, Kishikmim Ashir Bishfela. You see right after there's 2 dots, it's 1 line before it gets wide. Bibikurim. Bibikurim ketiv Ashir Tavi Me'artsecha. You have to bring from your land. V'darshinam b'menachot ne'emar kan artzecha by Bikurim v'ne'emar le'alan eres chita u'schora ma le'alan shevach eres Yisrael. Just like over there, it's talking about the praised fruits of eres Yisrael. Be'ha b'shvacha hakatu medaber afkan shevach eres. So too over by Bikurim, it's talking about the praiseworthy fruits of Israel. V'yafina mine de'en mivim ela m'shvachat t'inim amurim sham ve'en mivim ela m'makom m'shubach. And you only bring from the choice places. Utmarim mishvaat aminim hem. Dichtivu dvash. Danu dvash temarim. When the Torah says dvash as one of the 7, dvash is not honey. Dvash is referring to dates. And therefore, you bring from where? Bring from the dates that are in the valleys, because that's where they're supposed to grow. But don't bring from a date tree that's in the mountains, because they're not known for that item. Comes the Gemara and continues. Velo medekalim. Ela mishvaat aminim velo medekalim shebeharim velo meperot shebeamakim, which means bring from the 7 minim, but don't bring from the palms that are in the mountainous regions, and don't bring from the fruit that are in the amakim, in the valleys. Bring the best fruit, but now that you know where each item is supposed to grow, you'll bring from that place. For example, that she says, don't bring from the wheat of the valleys. Because wheat is not known to grow in the valleys, because it's very moist in the valleys, and the wheat becomes very, very saturated with water, and it becomes spoiled. But what? The valleys are known for the palm trees. So therefore, each place you have to know. Don't bring wheat from the valleys, and don't bring dates from the mountains. Comes the Gemara and continues. Siman the Nehalim Kanim. A siman of a river is what? You're going to see reeds. If you see reeds, you know already it's a river. Nafka mina, the Nahal Etan. Nafka mina for the law of Nahal Etan. What's the law of Nahal Etan? If, let's say, a dead body is found between 2 cities, and they don't know exactly who killed them, so the Beit Din goes out with their measuring sticks, and they measure to the closest city, and that city has to bring what's called an Igla Arufa, a certain calf, and they have to bring it down to a certain river that they call Nahal Etan. There's different interpretations why they call it Nahal Etan. One explanation is because it's a rocky terrain. Etan means like it's rocky, it's strong, it's a hard ground. Others explain that it's a very wavy river. Etan is a violent river, very, very strong current. And therefore, you bring it to Nahal Etan, but it has to be brought down. This animal, which is slaughtered, it's not really slaughtered, it's decapitated, right, by the neck at Nahal Etan, at a Nahal that's called Etan. How do you know what a Nahal is? So the way you know what a Nahal is, you look for reeds. Once you find reeds, then you know you're in the right spot. So therefore the Gemara has to tell you the telltale sign of Nehalim is Kanim. Nafka mina, le'egla arufa. Comes the Gemara continues. Siman l'shfela shikma. A siman of the plains is when you see the sycamore tree. Nafka mina lemekah homemkar. Nafka mina for business. Which means, if you go to a guy, and you tell him, you're selling him a real estate in the plains. Right? So he takes the property. If you don't see sycamore trees there, you know it's a no sale. You know that it's a faulty sale. Nafka mina for mekah homemkar. When you sell a guy plains, it's got to be the place where the sycamore trees are. So the Gemara says, hashta dita hache. Once already you're telling me Mekka or Memkar, I can say the Nafka Mina for all these things is Mekka or Memkar. You don't have to give me other Nafka Mina, which means go back to the other cases. A guy is coming to tell you, I'm selling you mountainous regions. So you got to know. If the gold nuts are there, then you know it's mountainous region. If not, not. It's a Mekka Taud. Or take the valleys, right, where you have to find the palm trees. Once you're already introducing business, so then you can explain all these cases regarding business. Okay, the Mishnah continues.
Makom shenahagu limkor behema daka lenochrim mochrim. Makom shelo nahagu limkor en mochrim.
New subject. There was a law that we're going to read in the Mishnah that clearly says you're not allowed to sell a goy, and not allowed, not a minhag, it's a suit to sell a goy, behema gasa. That's a big animal. Why? Because big animals generally work. They plow the ground, they carry loads. So why can't you sell an animal to a goy, behema gasa? Gizera, that you might come to lend it to him, or lease it to him. So what? The problem is, if that animal works on Shabbat, you're making a transgression. Because the Torah says, not only are you not allowed to do work, but ata ubehemtecha, you and your animals. So therefore, lest you come to lease a goy an animal, or rent them an animal, or lend them an animal, Hakamim said, you're not allowed to sell him even. If you sell him, what's the problem? It's not yours. Gezerah. So that was Yisur in all places. But what about a behemah daka? Behemah daka is a smaller animal, like a sheep, a goat. Those type of animals are not work animals. So that was dependent on minhag. Some places had minhag not to sell the goyim even behemah daka, and some places had minhag to sell. So the Mishnah's rule is, makom shenahagu limkor behemah daka lenochrim, mochrim. If the minhag is to sell them, you sell them. Makom shelo nahagu limkor, אין מוכרים, ובכל מקום אין מוכרים להם בהמה גסה עגלים, that would include even calves, וסייחים,
that would be small donkeys,
foals they call it, okay, שלמים, whether the animals are שלם, healthy, ושבורים, even if they're lame. Meaning, according to Tanna Kamma, they made such a gezerah on a behemah gasa, even if it's lame, which it's really not going to work. Doesn't matter. Hakamim was still osir. No pilug, exactly. Mishnah continues. The biyuda matir bishmura. The biyuda zai. And shmura, it's mutar. He didn't make a gezerah on that. Why? So that she gives the explanation. What is the goy going to do with the shivura? Obviously he's not going to use it for working. He's going to slaughter it immediately. And therefore, there's not going to be marit ayin. Because what's the whole problem? The problem is if you sell the goy the animal, if you sell the goy the animal, the Jew, another Jew will come along and say, he doesn't know that this was sold, he'll come and lease the animal. If he leases the animal, what's going to happen? His animal is going to end up coming to work on Shabbat. But that's only the case where you see the animal that was transferred from a Jew to a goy. But a broken animal, a handicapped animal, no Jew's going to see it by the goy. Why? Because immediately when he gets it, what does he do with it? He slaughters it. So therefore nobody can come and make a mistake and say, oh, I saw a Jewish animal that was by the possession of a Shevurin, you don't see anything. It's destroyed or it's slaughtered immediately. So that's the Sevara of Ben Betera. Gemara continues. I'm sorry, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. Ben betera matir b'sus. Ben betera is matir to sell a horse to a goy. Why? Because the primary usage of a horse is what? Riding it. Okay? Well, riding a horse is at worst only Isud Rabbanan, even though, let's say, it's carrying the rider. Well, we know the principle that we learned in Masechet Shabbat, Haino Seet Atzmo, that a live person really carries his own weight. And therefore, when the horse is carrying the rider, it's only Isud Rabbanan. Therefore, the rabbis did not make a gezerah to sell a horse to a goy, because even if you lease it to a goy, the worst it will come to is Isud Rabbanan.
Good. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Makom shenagu leechol sli belele pesachim ochlim. Makom shenagu leechol sli belele pesachim ochlim. Makom shenagu shlo leechol sli en ochlim.
We know that in the olden days, you had to eat korban pesach on Leil Pesach. The korban pesach was obviously roasted. Sedi ish. After the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, when the Korban Pesach was not brought anymore, came a custom of some people not to eat any roasted meat on Korban Pesach, on Leil Pesach. Why? They said, because people are going to think that this was designated for Korban Pesach, and they're eating it outside Jerusalem, and therefore it looks like they're eating Kodashim, Chutz LYerushalayim. Can't do that. So therefore that a custom, no roasted meat. Other communities had a custom to eat basar. They said, no, we're not eating as Korban Pesach. What's the issue? They didn't make the gezerah. So the Mishnah says, how do you deal with it? It depends on the minhag. If you come from a place that eats sli, you can continue eating sli. If you come from a place that doesn't eat sli, it is going to be asur.
The Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Asur lo le'adam shiyomar. Basar ze la Pesach hu.
The Gemara says it is forbidden for a person to say this meat is designated for Pesach because it looks like he's sanctifying the animal and then he's eating the animal which was sanctified outside of Jerusalem. Again, you have to remember Pesach, they used to eat Korban Pesach in the olden days. So by a person saying this is for Pesach, it looks like he's sanctifying it, and now he's going to eat it on Pesach outside Yerushalayim. It looks like he's eating Kodashim outside. Rashi tells us that the Kiddush is even if he said Basar Zula Pesach after it was already slaughtered, which normally you can't make basar kodesh after it's slaughtered. It can only become kodesh when it is still alive. Still, the Hakamim put an isur on this. Amar papa, dafka basar. This gezerah only applies to meat. Meaning a person cannot say basar zula pesach. Aval chite lo. But when it comes to wheat, it doesn't apply. For example, if a person is allowed to say chitim elu la pesach. Why? Dimintar le pishaka amar. Which means what he's saying is, when he says La Pesach, he's not sanctifying it for anything. He's just saying that these wheat are being protected from Hametz for Pesach. Because wheat you make matzah. So he's saying this wheat is designated for Pesach, meaning for use for the matzot, meaning it's protected. Now, one question, what would a person do with wheat anyway if he's sanctifying it? So that she says, because you might understand to mean that you're putting the Kiddushah on the Hittim for its monetary value, Kiddushat Damim, in order to then transfer it to an animal to use it for Korban Pesach. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, when it comes to Hittim, you're allowed to say Hittim Elu La Pesach, only by Basar, the rabbis made a Gezerah. Again, the Hittim would be for Kiddushat Damim, and the Hiddush is that we don't even say that that is a problem. Who Basar, no, what Basar is a problem? Maybe we have a question from a bright. Amar Rabbi Yose taught Todos Ish Romi. Todos, a very important person from Rome, a Jewish man. Hinehig et bene Romi. He brought a custom to the people of Rome. Lechol gedayim mekulasim b'leleh pesachim. To eat what's called the gedim mekulas on the night of Pesach. Gedim mekulas, as she says, is taking a gedi, which is a goat, and they roast it, and they do it the way they used to roast the Korban Pesach. Rosho al-Kedarav, which means they bound it up, right? So the head is by the legs, and they take out the insides of the animal and they place it underneath the animal's head so it rolls together. That's what it means. Gidimikulas, its head is on the is resting on the insides that they wrap around, so it looks like a helmet. It looks like the animal's head has a helmet on it. Gidimikulas literally means the helmeted gidi. That's the way they made it. So that was the Hadush of Todos Ishlomi. He told the people to make not Korban Pesach, of course, because he was after he was in Rome. He was telling them to make the dinner of Pesach with a Gdi Mekulas. Shalchu lo, so the rabbi sent to him, El Male Todos Ata, if you were in Todos, meaning such an important person, Gozranu Alecha Nidui, we would put you in excommunication. She'ata ma'achilit Yisrael Kadashim Bahot, because you're feeding the Jewish people sacrificial meat outside of Jerusalem. So the Gemara asks, Kadashim Sakadatach, what do you mean? He wasn't feeding them sacrificial meat, this wasn't a Korban Pesach. Ela Ema, we can say, Karov la'achilit Yisrael Kadashim Bahot, which means it's very, very similar to Kodashim, which means this is the exact item they used to eat on Ben Pesach in the olden days in the time of Bet HaMikdash. So by you allowing them to do this, and as a matter of fact, by you bringing such a minhag, it looks like that they're eating Kodashim outside Yerushalayim, so the rabbis were against it. So the Gemara now asks this question, Mikulas in. The rabbis were only against it, seems, because it was a Gedi Mikulas. She'en Mikulas lo. But it was Masha, they weren't against taking a regular piece of meat and designating it for Pesach. But we just said in the Gemara that's Asur. The Gemara answers, Amre Mikulas lo shena amar lo shena lo amar. When it comes to a Gedi Mikulas, the difference is, under all circumstances, it is Asur. Whether you said it is for Pesach, or even if you did not say it's for Pesach, since it's very similar to it, it is Asur under all circumstances. However, She'enu Mikulas, if it's not a Gedi Mikulas, meaning it's a regular piece of meat, Piresh in, lo piresh la. Only if you explicitly said Zula Pesach, it's going to be Asur. But if you didn't designate it and say Zula Pesach, then a basar would be mutas. So there's a difference between mikulas and regular basar. Mikulas, the rabbis are against it in all situations. Masheenken basar, only if you said Adeh Zula Pesach Asur, but stam would be okay. Gemara says, "Vavacha matnila leha matnitin matnita kira bishimon." Ravacha had the author of this braita of Todos Ishromi in the name of Rabbi Shimon. According to the opinion that had Rabbi Yosef as the author of the braita, everything is good. But according to the opinion that had Rabbi Shimon as the author of the braita, is it good? Why? What's the problem? Because we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon poter shelo hitnadev kederech hamitnadevim. Rabbi Shimon exempts because he did not donate in the normal way that people donate. What is this referring to? It's referring to a specific case in the Mishnah in Menachot. A mincha is a meal offering. It is brought from chitin, from the wheat. Let's say a person made a statement and said, Hare alai mincha min ha-se'orim. So he's saying two statements over here. He's saying, I want to bring a mincha, and I'm going to bring it from barley. So the Chachamim in the Mishnah say, he brings a mincha of wheat. We take what came out of his mouth first. And since the first thing that came out of his mouth was, Hare alai mincha, so therefore mincha has to bring chitin. Even though he said, min ha-se'orim, we pay no attention to Se'onim, we pay attention Tfos Lashon Rishon. That's Tarakama's opinion. However, Rabbi Shimon says no. Tfos Lashon Acharon. That you take not only what he said in the beginning, Hare Alai Mincha, but you also take what he meant at the end. And what did he say in the end? Se'onim. Which is, he thought that you could bring a Mincha from barley, and you really can't. And since you take his words seriously, therefore he doesn't have to bring anything. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon holds that since he did not mitnadev, he did not donate it, kederecha mitnadevim, like the normal way to donate it, he didn't say chita, he said se'ora, therefore it is not valid at all. That's shitat Rabbi Shimon. So you see again, if you don't do it the normal way, like in this case over here, since you're tofes lashon acharon min ha-se'orim, and it's not the normal way to bring it, because se'orim is not part of a mincha, so it's, you don't have to bring anything. Oh, so based on that, this guy over here, if he's going to sanctify the Gedi Mikulas after it's slaughtered, and say, Hareze Le Pesach, it's nothing. That's not the normal way to sanctify a korban, an animal. When do you sanctify the animal? When it's alive. So therefore, according to the Mishnah, why should the Hakim have a problem in this case over here? It doesn't even resemble a korban Pesach. Because since it was sanctified after the animal was slaughtered, so therefore there's no gizrah that it might look like a person is eating kadashim, bahutz. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that if you don't do it the right way, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like by the case of the mincha of Se'urim. So therefore the Gemara says, if you say the author of the Brayta of Todos is Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't make any sense why the rabbis would be against what he did. Amar l'Ravina l'Ravashe uman dematina k'Rabbi Yose miniha. Well, according to the opinion that has the author of the Brayta, Rabbi Yose, is it good? We have a statement of Rabbah that says, Rabbi Shimon, where did he get his shita that says Tfos Neshon Aharon? Rabbi Shimon actually got his shita from Rabbi Yose in the Mishnah in Masechet Temura. What does it say in Masechet Temura? A person, let's say, has an animal. And he comes along and says, Harezu temurat ola, temurat shelamim. He comes along and says, I'm going to transfer the kedusha of this animal into another animal and make it an ola. And I'm going to make it a shelamim. So the question is, what do you make that second animal? Do you make it an ola, or do you make it a shelamim? So Rabbi Meir in that Mishnah Temura says, you make it an ola. Tfos lashon lishon. Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's both. Which means you also tofes lashon acharon, because he meant both. But you can't say both simultaneously. So one had to be the first lashon, one had to be the second lashon, but he really means both. So how do you do that? So he says, you have one animal over here. You want it to be transferred to make it an ola and a shelamim. So he says, what do? You let it graze, that animal that you have, let it become a blemished animal. Once it becomes a balum, you sell it. With the money, you spend half the money to buy a korban ola, and half the money to buy a korban shelamim. So what do you see? You see the Biyoseh is the opinion that says, Tfos lashon aharon. And that's where the Bishimon got his shita from. Good. So the Gemara now wants to say, just like Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yosef, and by the way, Rabbi Shimon also holds, once you tofes lashon nishon, he has a second shita. You have to be mitnadev kederech mitnadevim. And therefore, in the case, let's say, of the se'orim, since you tofes lashon aharon, which is se'orim, and that's not the normal way to make a nedabah for mincha, because mincha does not come from se'orim, therefore it is nothing, you don't have to give anything. So the Gemara wants to say, de'amar apigmar debar avadam nitfas, that the Biyos says the opinion that says that a person is held to his Gemar Devarav, his second words as well. So my lab mid Rabbi Shimon Sabala Rabbi Yosef, just like Rabbi Shimon, his source is from Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef name Sabala Rabbi Shimon must be Rabbi Yosef also Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, he'll also hold that what? Of course, Tfos Lashon Aharon, because he's the source of that shita, and he'll also hold the shita of Rabbi Shimon that says what? That you have to mit nadev kederech mit nadevim. And therefore, since by the Gedim Mikulas, the guy did not sanctify it in the normal way, meaning after it was dead, he did it. Therefore, if you say to be Yosef is the author of that Brayta of Todos, it doesn't make sense either. Because why were the rabbis against it? There's no Gezeraf Korban Pesach over here. He didn't sanctify it like the normal way. So it should be a question, Ben Rabbi Shimon, Ben Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says, no. Gemara says, lo. Rabbi Shimon Sabah like Rabbi Yosef, velo Rabbi Yosef Sabah like Rabbi Shimon. Yes, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yosef in the sense that what? Tfos lashon acharon. Therefore, you say when the guy said se'orin, hare alay mincha, se'orin, you take se'orin. And since se'orin is not kederech mit nadebim, nothing. And therefore, by the Gedim Mikulas also, since you did not sanctify kederech mit nadebim, nothing. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon cannot be the author of that brayta, because it doesn't make sense why the rabbis be against him. But Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, meaning Rabbi Yosef does hold tfos lashon acharon. Meaning when the guy says, Hare alay mincha lehavi min se'orin, you say that he also meant se'orin. But he does not subscribe to this business that you have to be mitnadev kederech mitnadevim. And therefore Rabbi Yosef is going to say, even though you're tofes lashon acharon, you still have to be mincha from chitin. Why? Because en adam motzi devarav lebatala. See, it's a different shita. He says, a person does not waste his words. And therefore, if a person said he's going to bring a mincha of se'orim, so he made a mistake. He said se'orim, doesn't matter. Se'orim, he means chatin. Therefore, he has to bring chatin. A person doesn't waste his words. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef, a person now by the Gedim Mikulas. He sanctified it after it was dead. Well, that's not the only way to sanctify it. Yeah, but Rabbi Yosef says, "En adam motzi devarav debatala." So he must have meant something. What did he mean? He probably meant to sanctify it, not as a korban, but to sanctify it kiddushat damim, in its value. Therefore, the kiddushah is in the value of it. Therefore, he'll transfer the money value into another animal and use it for a korban pesah. So that's why the rabbis were against it. Because they said, even though it's not kederech ha-middat demim, Rabbi Yosef doesn't subscribe that it has to be kederech ha-middat demim. And therefore, it's possible that the guy meant that after it died, he sanctified the what? Not that I'm going to bring this as a korban. You can't bring this as a korban. You cannot sanctify. But what? That his kavanah was what? That the money value, I'll transfer it to a different animal, and that animal, mehayim, I will sanctify as a korban. So therefore, the braita makes more sense to say like Rabbi Yosef. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ibaye dehu." We have a question. Todos ishromi gavrada bahava or bal igrofin hava. Now we want to know the status of Todos ishromi. Was he a adam chashuv? Was he an important person, and that's why the rabbis did not put him in excommunication, or was he bal igrofin? Bal igrofin means like he was a strong, which means it wasn't from his hashivut that they didn't put him in hayrim, but he was a bully. I'll say that word, meaning they were scared of his might. So the Gemara says, Tashema, I will prove it to you that really, indeed, he was a adam hashuv. Why? Odzu darash todos ishromi, because you see, todos ishromi had his own derashot, and the rabbis accepted his derashot. What was his derasha? Ma'ra'u Hananya Mishael v'azari Hashem masru atzmam kedushat Hashem lekevshana esh. What drove Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that they sacrificed their life, that they did not bow to the person of Nebuchadnezzar, and they opted to jump into a fiery furnace and risk their lives? So Todos Ishromi said, why did they do that? Tosfot points out, really they were not obligated from the law of Avodah Zarah, because the pestle of Nebuchadnezzar, according to the Tosfot, was really not an Avodah Zarah. It was more of a symbol that he erected for his honor. And therefore, the rabbi Todos Ishromi wanted to know, why did they jump into the fire, risking their life? They should have bowed. Now, obviously, they opted for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. They died on Kiddush Hashem. They were willing to die, I should say, on Kiddush Hashem. So really, the question of Todos was, where did they learn that you can risk your life to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So the Gemara says, Nasu kal vachomer be'atzman misfardain. They drew a kal vachomer from the frogs that came and attacked Egypt. Uma sefardain she'en mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem. Right, the frogs do not have an obligation of Kiddush Hashem to sanctify God's name. Uchti bu, and what does it say? Uba'u va'alu bebetecha. It says that the frogs were commanded to go into the homes of the Egyptians, Paro, uptanurecha, tanurecha is the ovens, ubimisharotecha. Misharotecha would be the bread, or the doughs, the kneading bowls. Okay, misharotecha. So the Gemara says, ematai misharot mitzuyot, etzel tanur, it says, tanurecha misharotecha. In the ovens and in the kneading bowls. So the Gemara says, when are the kneading bowls close to the oven? Have omer b'sha'as she'tanur ham, which means when it says b'tanurecha u'misharotecha, it means in the ovens and in the kneading bowls. Now usually when there's a kneading bowl next to the oven is on, because you're planning on baking the bread. And there were frogs that jumped in to an oven that must have been ignited. And obviously when you jump into an oven, you die. So the Gemara says, the Merikah Vachomer, Anu shemitzuvin al kiddushat Hashem al hat kama v'kama. We're commanded on the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. All the more so if the frogs are willing to give up their life and jump into the ovens, they don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We who have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, all the more so. That was Tudus's Hiddush. Therefore he must have been Adam Hashuv, because already he's giving the Divrei Torah. The question is, what do you mean the frogs weren't commanded? Didn't the Torah command them to jump into the ovens? So they also had a commandment of Kiddush Hashem. That breaks the Kavahomet. So the explanation the rabbis say is, no individual frog was commanded to jump into the ovens. They had options. They could have went into the houses, to the rooms, to the beds, to the kneading bowls or the ovens. the frogs that chose to jump into the ovens, they jumped on their own will. They could have jumped somewhere else. So they weren't mitzuveh, and still they did it. So Hananiah B'Shazariah said, if the frogs that are not commanded on Kiddush Hashem, they were willing to die for sanctifying God's name, we that are commanded on Kiddush Hashem, all the more so. So that was the kavachomer that they made for themselves. Huh? Yeah, but each one could have gotten out of the obligation.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech
Haolam Shekulo
Amen.
Tosfot has a different way to understand the question. He understands the question of Tudos was, why didn't Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah run away? It seems they had a chance to escape. Why did they, like Daniel, exactly. Daniel also had escaped from the king's wrath. So why did they run away?
Right.
Why did they opt to stay there and jump into the fire? Well, because Tavka, they wanted to fulfill Mazar Kedush Hashem, and the Kavahomet is from the Sfardeim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Yosef by Rabbi Namar. Rabbi Yosef is telling us now why Todos Ish Romi was considered Adam Hashuv. Matil Melai Lekishel Tamideh Hachemim Haya. His good things was he used to give business to the Tamideh Hachemim. Actually, he would give them Milai as merchandise. He would give them merchandise in order that Tamid Hakam could go out and sell it and make business. So then he supported the Tamid Hakamim. That's why he was considered Adam Hashuf. The Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Because Rabbi Yohanan taught, Kol amatil milay lekis Tamid Hakamim. Anybody that does business with a Tamid Hakam and gives him merchandise in order for him to make money, Zoche v'yoshe b'shiva shel ma'ala. He's Zoche and Olam Abba to sit in the highest places with the Tamidei Hachamim. Shne'emar ki besela chokmah besela kasif. In the shade of chokmah, who sits in the shadow of chokmah? Besela kasif. The one that gave him the money. So therefore, if a person gives the money to the Tamidei Hachamim, he's buying his way into a seat with the Tamidei Hachamim in Olam Haba.
Not tzedakah,
business. Right, Rashi says, "Betzela chokma, b'mchitzat chokma yikanez zu shehinhau minichasav." Rashi says, "No, shehinhau minichasav." He benefited him from his assets. Now, in this case, so he did it in a dignified way, where he gave him, a merchandise. But anybody that's supposed to be dachamim, it's betzela chokma, betzela kasav. He's lachaz zevulun. Comes the new Mishnah. Makom shenahagu adlik et aner b'lele yom kippurim adlikin. So there was a difference of customs. On Leil Kippur, is it proper to light candles in the home or not? We know that on Friday night, Shabbat, we light candles before Shabbat. That's not a minhag, that's a halakha. But regarding Leil Kippur, there was a question in minhag whether it's proper to light Nerot in the house on Leil Kippur or not. What is this based on? The Gemara will explain the basis of each minhag. And the Gemara is going to explain that both had the same intention and both minhagim are legitimate. So again, Makom Shnagu Nadik Etaner Ben Yom Kippurim Adigin. They come from a place where the custom is to light the Ner on Yom Kippur, so you light it. Makom Shnagu Shlo Nadik Em Adigin. And a place that doesn't have the minhag, they don't light. Umadlikin the batei kinesiot, umbatei midrashot, umbimbuot afilim ve'al gabeh hacholim. But everybody agrees, you do light nerot in the synagogue, batei kinesiot, batei midrashot in the yeshivot, in the bet midrash, umbimbuot afilim and in the dark alleys, ve'al gabeh hacholim and by the sick people. Which means there isn't a yet to be mechaved Yom Kippurim. And one of the kibbut of Yom Kippurim is with lights. When you have light, it's kavod. So they were saying, well, there was a difference in minhag regarding the house, but outside the house is a mitzvah to put many nerot, lichbod Yom Kippurim, in other places. Like the Nemukei Yosef says, the noshiach mi'usura. As you'll see, the reason in the house does not apply to the synagogue, therefore it is a mitzvah to put the batei kinesiot and and the Batei Midrashot. Gemara begins. Gemara begins. Tana. Ben she'amru lehadlik, or ben she'amru shelo lehadlik, shenehen dvar echad etkavnu. The people that have the custom to light Nerot in the house on Kippur, and the people that have the custom not to light, they have the same intent, meaning it's the same motivation. Why? Rashi. Ben she'amru la'adik, otan she'nargu la'adik, banugim she'lo la'adik, lo netkavenu ela davar ehad lehafrish atzmo memeshke be'isha. In order to keep him away from being with his wife. Because we know that one of the five things that are isur on Yom Kippur is tashmish ha'mita.
Right.
So each one, his end game was in order to abstain him from being with his wife. How? That she continues. How omrim lehadlik, the opinion says to keep the ner lit, mishum de'en adam mishamish mitato le'or anir. Because it is forbidden to have tashmish when there's a light on. And therefore, since there's a light on, he knows he can't have tashmish. He can't put the net out on Kippur because it's a sur. So therefore, automatically it stops him. Ve'omrim she'lo dadlik, sovrim k'she'anir dolek ro'eh t'shto mitavela. They look at the opposite. They say when the light is on, you're able to see your wife and you have a desire for her. So therefore, you keep the lights off, you can't see your wife, so therefore you're not going to be have a ta'ava, so if you have no problem. Now obviously, the net we're talking about was in the bedroom when the people were sleeping. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Yoshua Darash Rava." So Rava said on this difference of minhagim, "Ve'ameh kulam sadikim le'olam yishuaris," which means "Ve'ameh kulam sadikim." Everybody in the nation is sadikim, and they're going to inherit olam haba. Ben she'amru la'adlik, or ben she'amru shelo la'adlik, shenehem lo nitkavenu ela ledavar echad. Means their intention is l'shem shamayim, to stop a person from committing an avera. Ve'ameh kulam sadikim. Whatever the people do, they're considered righteous. Comes again and says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, en mevarchin ala or, ela b'motzei Shabbat." You only make the beracha on or, on motzei Shabbat. Why? Oil v'tchilat b'riyato hu, because that's when the fire was created. As the Midrash tells us that on Motzei Shabbat, Adam Rishon was playing with stones, and all of a sudden he rubbed the stones together, and all of a sudden a light came out, the flame came out. So therefore, on Motzei Shabbat, we make a beracha on the Ner, Borei Moraesh, to commemorate the beginning of the creation of the fire. Mm-hmm. Now, Tosfot points out over here, the bottom Tosfot, Hiksha Rabbi Yosef, Lama en mevrachim bechol sha'ah shenehene memenu, da'asu la'anot min ha'olam hazeh belo beracha. What do you mean? We should, another problem. Forget about you commemorating the novelty of Esh Amos Esh Shabbat. You should make the Moreh Esh always, because it's a hana'ah. Just like when you smell something, you make a beracha. Just like when you eat something, you make a beracha. Berachat ha'nehene. Right. So therefore, when you have pleasure from a fire, you should make a beracha. V'tireetz tahani mide kishigufo nehene. Which means that's only talking about when the body is nehene, which means even smelling it goes into the body. Okay. Eating certainly goes into the body. Ner is external. It's not considered a hana'a of the goof. Therefore you do not make a beracha. It's not considered berkat nehenin, because it does not enter the body. So Tosfot then says, we make the beracha every day, yosena meorot. Oh, that's making the beracha on light. He says, no. Haynu mishum shin mithaddish bechol yom. You're making a beracha on the fact that the sun rises every day. It's not a beracha on the light per se. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the sun came up. So therefore, that's a different type of beracha. That's more like a berachat shevach. That's a beracha of praise. It's not a beracha of nehenin, of hana'ah. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar le'ahu sabah." So the old rabbi, an old man, came along with Timar Ababar Barchana, said, "Yishar," meaning he told him, "You said good," which means that halakha that you said, that you only make the beracha on Motzei Shabbat, Yishar, it is correct, it is right. Vechen Amar Rabbi Yohanan, and you should know Rabbi Yohanan also said the same halakha. Comes again and says, "Ula habarachiv hamra." Ula was once riding on a donkey, va'azil, and going. Va'ba shakir va'azil Rabbi Abba mimine, and he had Rabbi Abba on his right, ve'Rabba barbarchana misimale, and Rabba barbarchana on his left. Amale Rabbi Abba le'ula. So Rabbi Abba tells Ula,
ודאי דאמריתו משמד רבי יוחנן אין מברכין על האור אלא במוצאי שבת הועיל ותחילת בריאתו הוא. Which means it is certain that Rabbi Yochanan, who is asking him, that she says, "Emet hadavar sheshamati alechem sheatem omrim mishemet Rabbi Yochanan." Is it true that you quoted Rabbi Yochanan to say such a thing? That the halacha is you only make the beracha of Meoreh Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbat because you're commemorating when it was created? Is that true? I mean, I heard you people, you quoted the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hadar Ula, so Ula turned around. Hazabe Beraba Barbarhana Bishut. So he looked at Rabba Barbarhana that was also traveling with him, Bishut, which means Beparim Zaafot, that she says angrily. That she says, Kolomar, Ata Amarta Meshem Rabbi Yochanan. Well, you're the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan in this statement. Dehulo Amarkin. What are you talking? You misquoted Rabbi Yochanan. I guess Rabbi Abba heard it. So Ula turned to Rabbi Barhan. You're the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan this? Rabbi Yochanan never said this. Oh, what did he say? So that she says, Ela af b'motzei yom kippurim mevarchin alav ho'il v'davar hadash u'shene'esar bo kol hayom v'achshav nehneh memenu. Rabbi Yochanan made his statement legabe motzei kippur. And he was trying to tell him that on motzei kippur as well, you do make the berachah mora esh. Why? For a different reason. Because since on the whole day of Kippur, fire was forbidden to a person, mm-hmm. right? Because you cannot benefit from fire on Yom Kippur. You cannot make a fire, you cannot cook, you cannot do anything with it. And now the fire becomes mutar again. So therefore, you make a beracha. Say, what are you quoting Rabbi Yochanan on the Shabbat? Because it's Tehilat Briyato. He never talked about that. He talked about Kippur because since it was Isur the whole day, and now it became mutar. Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Leh. So Rabbi Barhan has to defend himself. Amale ana lav aha amre, ela aha amre, which means Rashi, ana aha amre do mishemet b'yochanan, de ana achar atana v'hakamim osim ladik etaner ap yom kippurim shechal liyot b'shabbat ad motzei shabbat. ולא הזכרתי שמות של יוחנן על אור במוצאי שבת, אלא בזו. והם סורים שעד דבר ברכת האור הזכרתי שמו. Which means, I mentioned יוחנן's name in the context of a conversation that אחרים were having, and they misinterpreted what I said. They thought I quoted יוחנן לגבי מוצאי שבת. Why, what was the conversation? דתני תני כמד רבי יוחנן. There was a Tana that made a statement in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Yom Kippurim shechal liyot b'Shabbat. If Yom Kippurim fell out on Shabbat, af b'mkom she'amu shelo lehadlik, even in a place where they had the custom not to light Nerot on Kippur, madlikim ipnei kibbutz Shabbat. But since it's Shabbat, so they light. Which is, that was the discussion over there. It wasn't discussing Motzei Kippur or Motzei Shabbat. The discussion was lighting Nerot on Yom Kippur, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. So all Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar just said what? That even according to those that had the custom not to light, like we learned in our Mishnah, if it fell out on Shabbat, they would light Lichmot Shabbat. Ve'ane Rabbi Yochanan Batre. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to that conversation and said, "V'hachamim oslim," and they said, "No, v'hachamim old. There is no difference." So what Rabbah was trying to say, I was never discussing Rabbi Yochanan's statement legabe motzei Shabbat making a berakah. They heard me say Rabbi Yochanan oslim, and who knows? They misinterpreted my statement. Let's read that. Rashi will conclude with this. Ana aha amri lehu meshemet Rabbi Yochanan de ana achar atana v'hakamim oslim ladlik et aner ap yom kippurim shechal liyot b'shabbat amotzei shabbat v'lo hezkarti shemot Rabbi Yochanan al or b'motzei shabbat. I never mentioned motzei shabbat ela bezu v'hem sivurim she'adavar berkat haor hezkarti shemot. They thought I was talking about berkat haor. So comes the Gemara and says, ועני רבי יוחנן בטרי, ואחרי זה אמר לה, עדה תהה. So when Ula heard this, he told him, עדה. And she says, זאת תהיה, meaning it's true,
Bizu ani modesh Rabbi Yohanan. Which is on this, you're right. Rabbi Yohanan did make this statement. So basically, the story was Rabbi Abbas said, "Is it true you people quote Rabbi Yohanan and had this?" So Ola said, "Looked at Rabbi Yohanan. Hey, you're the one that quoted Rabbi Yohanan. I didn't quote Rabbi Yohanan on this. I quoted him on something totally different." So you're right. And this is it's true. Rabbi Yohanan did make this statement. So because that we have two different discussions there. We have the discussion of Motzei Shabbat. That's the only time that you make a beracha, because of the hiddush, right? Because b'riyato, and which Rabbi Yohanan did not discuss. It was the other rabbis, and Kippur, shehaliot b'Shabbat, machloket between Bishonin and Rabbi Yohanan, in a place where they have the custom not to light. Does it change on Shabbat. That situation of Shabbat? Rabbi Shimon says it changes, and Rabbi Yohanan says, "Asur, it doesn't change."